Welcome to Tavi Blue View, your source for all things Everton. I'm Jerry. Max is here. We're rolling as a duo again. Yeah, and just so that means Max has to directly address me more, and you know, I'm sorry, man.
It becomes more conversationalist, doesn't it? I suppose, rather than a Q&A format, but it's always enjoyable.
Yeah, it's as though they're peering into our. Let's see here. We do this probably about, what do you think, 14 times a week. You and I talk, and we just talk soccer and football for, you know, about 4 hours each time.
Yeah, nonstop.
Yeah, it's just we do so much research.
Oh,
let me tell you, it's. I love the idea of people actually believing us and. I don't have any family life. I'm busy, like, talking to Max about zonal marking.
I know. We need sleep.
Speaking of actually taking time out of your life for football, middle of the day, I spent time and actually watched an Everton friendly in the middle of the day the other day. That's a thing that happened. Yeah, Everton won a trophy.
Yeah, we did.
Alert the media.
I know. Saying that, though, I you know, I keep forgetting. How many years is it now? What, 25? But people do forget. We have won the Mickey Mouse trophies in that time, you know. And I remember my favourite one was the Everton Brotherhood Cup when we played Everton Chile, I think a good few years back now. Just a one-off game. And the winner got a trophy at the end and got to lift it and celebrate as if they just won the league title. Like,
yeah.
But they're always interesting occasions, aren't they? Obviously, this one's kind of contract obligated through Sport Pesa. And the Kenyans seem to have had a lovely time, which is, you know, they deserve a shout out for turning up if you saw any pictures of them. And they certainly made the noise because it sounds like.
Oh, you heard them?
Yeah, it sounds like you're in the middle of South Africa for the 2010 World Cup again. With them vuvuzelas.
That's the first thing I noticed was the, you know, my wife came in and said, "What is that?" And I was like, "Yeah, it's vuvuzelas."
Yeah,
you know,
it's Goodison.
It's not a typical English match at all. But no, I liked it. I liked the fact that all those Gormaya people came out and kind of, I don't know, they cared. Yeah. You know, they cared about it, and it was exciting.
Yeah.
And
they had Yakubu as the advocate. He was on commentary, too.
I heard. Because they streamed it for free. Thank you, Everton. I'm just going to say that. Thank you for actually streaming a friendly for a schmo like myself. Yeah. I appreciate that. That was nice. Were people in England actually able to watch it?
Yeah.
Like
streamed on YouTube and... Yeah, that's something that's definitely worth flagging up. Well done, Everton. That's a brilliant thing. It's a much better system than not what they use for the pre-season with the weird login thing. But yeah, Everton, if, you know, credit to you. Well done. Do that more often.
Oh yeah, and we actually got to see some players come in who haven't gotten a lot of time, and actually, you know, so right off the bat, you say you know Yerry Mina. Looked, you didn't have to do a lot.
No, but he was
still almost got a goal with his head.
Mm.
You know, but he didn't have to do a lot, so he looked fine. You know, you can't say he was a standout performer because he didn't have to do much.
Minutes on the pitch, isn't it? What counts there?
Exactly. You know, Jags got in, Schneiderlin got in, Davies looked great. Standout performer for me, probably the same one for you. Gotta say, Lookman.
Lookman, yep. Yep.
Definitely. Yeah, I think he's made a very good case for continuing to up his minutes on the pitch. He just seems like he's back.
Mm. Intelligent, too. You can do the definite maturation of his play there. You see the way he links up, the way he distributes the ball, and, you know, the fact that was almost the second team, he definitely looked the strongest out of the bunch. So you put him in contention for a start. You know, if you kind of arrange them all and who made the best impression, definitely him. And you definitely put him in contention for a start at 11 spot.
He just didn't look like he didn't fit. It looked like you shouldn't have been there. You know, he's just that much stronger. The ball's just glued to his foot. It's just so fun to watch, you know. His close control is just sickening. It's so good. Let's see here. Who else did we get to watch? We saw Beningame come in for Baines, playing out of position, and do just fine.
Yeah, did okay. James McCarthy, too. I was delighted to see him get on the pitch. Got himself an assist, too.
Got an assist. You know how – and he looked energetic and pressing, and I want to see that. I want to see more of that.
Yeah, it's typical of himself, and it's good to see a player come back from injury and not look timid or shy in that sense, because, you know, it's always nervy once you come back from injury, getting yourself back onto the pitch, and him more than anyone will know what, you know, the road to recovery is like and what it's like to start playing again. Fingers crossed that he does carry on picking up more minutes and works his way back into the match day squads.
And we also got to see some really young guys.
We did.
Was it Gordon
that came in? Yeah, a lot of lads come in, didn't they?
Is it Kyle John, Anthony Gordon?
Nathan Broadhead.
And Broadhead was the one who got himself on the score sheet. Got a goal and an assist, I think.
Set the ass off, didn't he?
Just, when he's come on for the first team, he has produced, and he's gotten like hardly any time. It's just funny how that works. Every time I've seen him, he looks exciting. You know, I don't know how that translates to first team action against first team type opponents, because you never can tell until you actually see that. But you know, Kyle John, Anthony, these young guys, they looked really confident.
Yeah.
And assured with the ball, like none of them were afraid to take a man on. Gotta love that, because you see it too often. A lot of times, players who just, they'll go up and they'll see there's a man there and they'll just turn around and play backward.
Yeah, you got to factor in the occasion. Obviously, you know, the balance, to be confident with that kind of that gulf in class. There, it's really, you know, you definitely know the manager said, you know, there's an impression to be made. Go out there and take your chance, and certainly think all of them did that.
Oh yeah. Ja Virginia got
to
play.
Finally got to see him. Made a good save, too.
Can you really see Steck hanging around next season? I mean, I believe Virginia is our second string next season.
It is an interesting one. It'd be interesting to see what route we take, almost, because something that I've flagged up quite a lot over these last few weeks is that what it tends to be these days with top teams, cup keeper or the second choice keeper, they opt to go for a more experienced keeper that's been there, done that, possibly got a few honours in his career. But you'd probably say he was our second keeper, wouldn't you? Obviously, with the made a good save, and there's a lot of hype around him for the under-23s. So, yeah, well done.
Yeah, I'll be really curious to see what shakes out with him next season. I just know he came to Everton with the intentions of playing and being eligible for first team, you know? And I don't know. I think he saw himself having a better chance with Everton than he was having with Arsenal. And what's in front of him is a keeper who has not really done well when he's been in. So that's why, I don't know, I've always been a big advocate of having a veteran second stringer, just like you were saying. But for me, I'm getting to the point now where Pickford is getting enough years to be a seasoned player already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I guess I'll be curious to see how that works, because he's taken up a wage.
Fair point.
So anyway, it was nice to see a lopsided win for a change, but really wasn't that lopsided the whole way through. It was 2-0 the majority of the game. I thought we looked confident. Gormaya did not do themselves. They didn't look bad. You know, they didn't come in here and embarrass themselves. It was good. They came in here and gave it a go.
No,
which was cool.
Yeah, fair play to them. Obviously, it's a huge occasion for them coming over, playing at Goodison Park, and I'm sure they all enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. the Yak made sure to mention that. I think he mentioned them being happy and excited maybe a dozen times. Fantastic. Maybe Baker's dozen. Sweet. It was so many times.
He's got to get back on commentary before the season ends.
It was funny because I was listening to him. It just sounded like he was trying to do something at the same time as he was giving commentary. It was great. it's like he was trying to carry on a different conversation at the same time. It was tripping me out, man. I wish they would do more of that, though. You know, have a former player on. I actually, the other day, Leon Osman was doing commentary on a game.
What game was that? Because I'm sure
it was NBC Sports. I'm trying to remember who it was.
I didn't even realize it was Leon Osman until it was Bournemouth Man United, because he was talking.
Yes.
He was talking about Dan Gosling. Everton tend to do that anyway with Ian Snowden, Graham Sharp, whoever they throw on. But that was certainly entertaining with Yakuba.
Yeah, that was the idea of them streaming it on YouTube like that, and then throwing. Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's just the idea of it being. I always associate those guys as, yes, they've been with the club for a long time, but at the same time, I always think of them as on-air personalities now.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like I just never think of Yak or Osman as being as. Osman's starting to get more well known that, though.
Yeah,
he's getting himself out there a lot.
Yeah, he's popping up on a few different shows, isn't he?
You know, like I'd like to hear Pienaar do one sometime.
Yeah,
you know, I think that'd be great. And I would literally pay money for Hibbert to come on. Pay money to hear that. It'd be fantastic. So. Gormaya, good experience. Got a trophy, in quotation marks. You know, because it is a trophy, but it's not really a big one. But anyway, let's. That was a nice big intro to the show. Let's talk summary for the pod listeners out there. We're gonna start with the Chelsea preview because, like it or not, that one's happening this weekend, and. You know, I know I'm supposed to be sort of dreading it, but I'm excited. I know. Yeah, we'll see. Then we're going to talk about our starting 11 choices. Marco, last time, chose to just disregard all of us. He gave us kind of that Heisman pose where he stuck his arm out and said, "No, guys, I've got this." Maybe this time he'll listen and maybe it'll be good. Who knows? And we're going to finish up with a segment that we call Beers with the Blues. And in that segment, we'll be going through the roster, and Max is going to be rating from 0 to 5 how much he actually would want to hang out with our Everton players. We're going to go through the entire squad, and we're going to see if Max thinks he would jive with some of these people.
Just me? So. I thought you were going to throw your shout in as
well. I'll be doing it at a different date. Different time.
All right, okay.
Because if it was both you and I, it would take too long, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, it's more you. We're caring about Max lately, you know? We're trying to get Max out there.
We'll see how this goes.
I think it'll be interesting. I've been prepped to ask some questions, so I have some questions as well. But anyway, let's go Chelsea preview.
Yep.
They're currently struggling. Second in the table, 27 points. They're 8-3-0. They haven't lost. Yeah, they stink. So recent results, 3-1 over Palace, 3-2 over Derby in the Cup, 4-0 over Burnley. They got a Europa League matchup in a couple hours, I think.
Yeah.
Was it Borisov?
8th Borisov. We played them once upon a time all those years ago in the Europa League. But yeah, it's not too soon. I think it's within the next hour or so that they'll be kicking off. We'll be sure to throw it on and have a little look. But they're fantastic, Jerry, aren't they? I think we've just got to be brutally honest. Since Maurizio Sarri's come in,
yep,
they've been absolutely phenomenal. A large part down to that, I think, is Jorginho. I think he's, for so far this season, been the best central midfielder in the Premier League. Nobody else in the league's played more passes than him. Nobody in the league's played more through balls than him. He, I've always said football is a game of triangles, and if you watch Jorginho, he is literally that pivot that connects the defence to the attack every single time. He's such a knowledgeable footballer. And because of players like Hazard and how well, Hazard's doing, I wrote a piece on it in Hazard earlier in the season, just how I personally think he's playing his best football since signing for Chelsea, tend to take the limelight away a little bit from Jorginho and the central players in general, because I think since switching from Conte to Sarri, the central players have come on leaps and bounds and they seem to be enjoying their football and expressing themselves. Part of that, unfortunately, and you've got to give them credit, Ross Barkley, you know, but I'm not a fan, okay? There's a lot to be said there in regards to how he treated Everton, but obviously Sarri put a lot of faith in him, but Jerry, he has been brilliant. He's playing some great football, and a large part, I think, down to that is being around such great players. Kovacic, Kante, Willian, Morata's banging them in at the minute too. They're a team high on confidence. I'm not looking forward to it as much as you are, I don't think, because I've just got, you know, it, as I've always said, it's Everton's inferiority complex when it comes to playing against these big sides away. But I'm sure we'll give them a good game because we seem to be gradually improving these performances.
Yeah, I actually am looking forward to it. The same way I used to, you know, when peak Martinez, let's play the big guys.
Yeah.
Let's. You know, jump up and hit him in the nose. You know what I mean? And let's remember that we should be one of the big guys. You know what I mean? That's the thing. And so I want to go out there and have these teams. Like, I remember last year, Pep Guardiola was talking about who was it? Who they just played? Shakhtar Donetsk.
He was talking about them,
because you were there yesterday, right? Or day before. I'm trying to remember when it was.
It was last night.
So Pep was talking about them, and then after they played Napoli, he was just talking about, he just couldn't stop talking about how good of football they played, you know? And he couldn't stop complimenting them. And I just compare that to how they just walked all over us last season. It was just an awful, embarrassing, like 3-0. I'm talking about the second time at Goodison.
Yeah.
It was nauseating to watch because I think we scored a goal, but it was out of nothing. We barely touched the ball. And you know Pep wouldn't have said anything about us, you know? But now I think teams are going to come away more impressed with our work. You know, with how we play, with our style.
Yeah.
And we're gonna get chances. I don't care who we play. We're gonna get chances.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, I did a little brush over the Premier League website and just checked out the statistics and who's leading and different metrics and whatnot. We've put in more crosses than any other team in the league so far this season. And I mean, that was something I didn't criticize it. I thought it was an unusual approach when we decided to fire crosses in against the likes of Duncan Duffy, against Brighton. Obviously, it paid off in the end. But against Rudiger and David Luiz, if Richarlison's up there, I don't think that's the right approach to take. Chelsea are going to try and strangle us to death with possession. Interestingly as well, they've had more possession than Manchester City overall so far this season. No teams have more of the ball, so at Stamford Bridge, I don't know, Jerry. Like, I'm half expecting us to. I don't think we're going to roll over. I don't think we're going to fold. I do think we're going to give them a good game, and hopefully, the players can rise to the occasion and carry on this good form that they showed against Brighton, particularly Richarlison, with his goal scoring touch and putting good performances. But it's going to be interesting because, you know, you can gauge Everton well by how they perform against the top teams, and we always used to play well against them. And you're getting that sense now, particularly after that Manchester United game, that the results are slowly improving.
You started to allude to their defense. Possible starters, Kepa. I just think it's rad they have a keeper. His name is Kepa.
Well,
that's just...
his name's too long to rap.
Yeah. It's just kind of great that that's the Kepa, you know?
Yeah.
Azpilicueta, Rudiger, Luis, Alonso, Kant, Jorginho, Barra, yeah, that guy. Pedro, Morata, Hazard, could see Willian in there. I don't know. I think danger men, we're looking at, you know, if you don't say Hazard, you're touched in the head. Morata is in some good form right now. And Jorginho, he's the dangerous player if you know a little bit about the sport.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if you're fresh to watching the sport, you see who scores goals,
yeah.
You see the assist players, but you don't notice those crazy long balls
pulling the strings, quite literally.
Yeah. It's a position that I feel like is highly underappreciated by people that are casual viewers.
Yeah, definitely. 100% agree.
But he's just a fantastic player, and and it breaks my heart knowing that we were connected with him when Martinez was manager back in the day.
Don't. Yeah. I haven't seen that rumor, and I don't want to.
Well, it's old, but we were supposedly interested in him when he was with. Is it Chievo Verona?
Yeah.
And he went from there, I think, to Napoli.
Interestingly.
I'm not sure if that's fully accurate, but
just on a side note, I've watched a bit of Napoli as well this season, and, you know, as well, they are still good. They've got a lot of star quality in there, but you can tell that they miss them. Just, you know, that position that's so underappreciated, that shows you up both defensively and offensively, it's so effective. You know, you see him, he instructs players off the ball, he's confident, he just knows what to do. And as you say, if you've watched football and you study football, he's just an absolutely sensational player to watch.
I worry a little bit about, I guess, Alonso in terms of runs up the flank.
Yeah.
I think he'd probably be hitting the same side that Coleman would be on, which is also, I mean, I think we could also see Hazard hitting the same side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anyway, we'll talk more about our lineup in a little while, so I don't want to get too much into that. But, you know, you look at this lineup, you look at their bench, you see danger.
Yeah.
You know, you see some concerns.
Strengthened up.
Yeah, they're solid. They're really solid, and yeah. But again, I like these measuring stick games. Where are you? You can be super psyched with how your team is doing, but then you get a nice reality check, and I feel like this is a reality check.
Yeah,
are we genuinely growing?
Yeah.
So
definitely.
Yeah. So what's the score, man? Prediction time.
Oh, I don't want to be a pessimist. I really don't want him. I know I'm saying how good Chelsea are, but I do have faith in Everton. I just thought it is worth giving credit to Chelsea because they just are so good. I'll go for a 2-2.
2-2?
Yeah.
I'm saying 2-1.
Chelsea.
Win.
Ooh. Ballsy.
I think it's time.
We say
I think it's time.
We say that every time, though. We say it every time.
I didn't say that against United. I didn't say that. But I normally, I told myself I wasn't going to predict us to beat a big team until we beat a big team.
You've seen it.
I just felt like going nuts. Okay. Yeah, I'm going my head. That's... No, I don't know. I was sitting there and I was this close to picking a 2-1 loss.
Mm.
I was like, no, I'm excited about this. I think this is possible.
Yeah,
I actually think it is possible.
If we have the correct game plan, you know, hopefully we don't get blown out the water and we have a game plan that's, you know, efficient and we can play it out over the entire 90 minutes. Because as I said, Chelsea, it's just a given. Chelsea are going to have more of the ball, and it's all about what we do with the ball when we have it. Shipping it out wide to the wingers, making sure they're in good enough form to do their thing with the ball and get it into the box. But yeah, come on, I hope you're right. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope you're right.
I'm not gonna be too upset if you're right too, Max. 2-2 draw is not the worst. I'd say it's actually pretty good, to be honest with you.
I'd have 3 points always. Rather have the
always,
3 points.
But yeah. I hope we can keep our composure and keep our heads about us while they are just with that quick passing game. So much movement. Because Napoli displayed it last season, and Chelsea are this season with those quick combinations. It's just it's easy to let them get through. It's easy to lose track of their attacking players. I don't know. I'm ready, though. I'm ready. Let's do this. I guess that's it for our Chelsea preview. Max with a more sane 2-2 draw prediction, and me with my wacky 2-1 win for us. Be really great if it wasn't so wacky at the end of the day. Coming up, we've got a starting 11 segment where we're going to try to figure out what Marco is going to do. So starting 11 versus Chelsea. Who do we think Silva's going to go with? Just to kind of give a spoiler, I'd say it's very possible Max and I have the exact same lineups. So I'll try to make sure I say it in a completely different way than Max does, just to spice it up. All right. So Max, go ahead, give us what you got.
We found our strongest starting 11 now, haven't we? Really, and it's a joy because I can't remember the last time when. We were so certain what our best 11 was. Pickford in goal, Coleman at right back. Obviously, with Kurtzuma, with Chelsea being Kurtzuma's pairing club, can't play. Yerry Mina and Michael Keane at centre back. Michael Keane just got his recall for the England national squad, so well done, lad. Luca Dean at left back. Three central midfielders: Idrissa Gueye, Andre Gomez just in front of them, Gylfi Sigurdsson, and a front three of Walcott, Richarlison, and Bernard.
Okay. I'm going to start
with... Have we gone for something different? Because the tension? Like, have you gone for Tosin up to the top or something?
You like how I built that up?
Have you gone for
Tosin? And how I'm making it seem as though we're totally different. I'm going to start with Richarlison up top and on the wings. I know this is crazy, but I think Bernard on one and Walcott on the other. All right? And then maybe in the center we go with Sigurdsson. It's out there. It's nuts. But I think he's earned the opportunity. All right. And then behind him, maybe Andre Gomez and Idrissa Gueye. I don't know. Unpopular opinion. I think they go well together, you know. And then in the back, a line across from very key here, from left back over to right back instead of right to left the way yours was. Dean. Yerry Mina, a.k.a. Baby Shark, all right? Michael Keane, because he's playing well, and he did get that England call-up.
Yeah.
Did you mention that? Yes. Seamus Coleman, and then in goal, get the Ravon. So, yeah, totally different.
Can always rely on the American for a bit of humor.
Or just straight idiocy. I've got it in buckets. Yeah,
you can't argue with that selection, though, Jerry, can you? Like,
that's what I'm saying, you know?
You've got to start Richarlison as the striker again, really, haven't you? just causes so many problems.
Hi, everybody. Jerry here with an update. So Silva did a press conference today and said that Richarlison is possibly a doubt for this weekend. We didn't know that when we recorded. We know now. So that's why I'm saying this. Hence the update. But yeah, just be aware that he might not be available Sunday. That's the thing. All right. On with the show. Well, we're just, it's just, we've got this little positive run, you know? I'm curious. I'll be curious if he shakes it up. I love to see when he does make changes, why.
Yeah.
But I'm almost thinking at this point, he feels like this is a dangerous lineup. Let's keep going with it.
Yeah.
You know? Are you worried about anybody?
In what sense?
As in, any players where you look at them and you think about possible matchups against Chelsea and you think, I don't know.
Obviously, that right-hand side for us, having to cope with Alonso and Hazard. Walcott's going to have to be on his game, tracking back, putting a defensive shift in.
He will have to do more than he's been doing this season.
Definitely.
I will say he did a little bit of it this past,
I think obviously he took on board that criticism that he got following the United performance and giving away for Martial's goal, put in a good shift against Brighton. But even this game, he's got to be so much more conscious of that defensive effort. You know, he's got to be careful about where he is on the pitch. He can't stay up for too long. He's got to track back, know where Coleman is. Because with Chelsea under Sarri now, there's so much movement with and without the ball. I think players have got to be on their game defensively and pick the moments going forward. We've got to hit them on the counter attack, and that is where Walcott and Bernard will come in. Bernard, possibly another concern, possibly on the defensive side of things. But I suppose that's a risk that you've got to take when they bring so much to the attack.
I agree with all of that. You know, and specifically mentioning Coleman by name, just because he looked good last game. He did. However, last game he wasn't up against Hazard, and he wasn't up against possibly a situation where he's got Hazard and Alonso running at him,
yeah,
with hardly any help. I think if you see anybody helping there, it's going to be Idrissa Gueye,
yeah,
running back to kind of get his back.
Got to be a big game for him.
Yeah,
I've got no doubt that he'll deliver though, because he just does. So,
I like the momentum he's got going right now. Just honestly, a smart, sound defensive game. If he can get forward, that's a bonus. You know what I mean? That would be a huge bonus this weekend. But the first name I wrote down, because he hasn't had any Premier... he's only had like 10 Premier League minutes, maybe 14. Mina.
Mina, obviously, with Morata in good form too. That's going to be an interesting battle.
Yeah. And just because it's Chelsea with their runs and how they combine with each other, I think it's just a situation where if communication is not on point in the back, we could find ourselves with a couple men open in the box just hanging out.
It'll come in handy for set plays, a lot more defending set plays, because I think he'll get his head to a lot more. But fingers crossed he has a good performance. It'd be a great way to kick off your Everton career with a strong performance at Stamford Bridge and setting, deposit the bar high and keeping momentum going.
I want to know if anybody can actually mark him on set plays.
Oh, no, corners. Of course.
The idea of seeing him jump a foot higher than everybody else and slam that ball down. I've been waiting for that moment.
I want to see it, because he scored in every one of his World Cup games, didn't he? You just think, like, maybe he can pick up a trend of being a goal scoring defender obviously, you know, the shout's going to be from corners and deep free kicks into the box. But fingers crossed.
Yeah. Honestly, other than that, I'm not really sure if I'm super concerned about anybody else. You know, Bernard, and I mean, you mentioned Walcott from the defensive end. However, Walcott from an attacking point of view, making sure he's clinical when he gets opportunities. That's the thing. Big games like this, we're not going to get as many chances as we had against Brighton. And we're actually going to have to keep our composure.
Yeah.
We're going to have to be able to finish those random little moments that we get that come in the blink of an eye. Are you ready? Are your feet set? You know?
Reflexes.
Yes. Yeah. It's a worrying game. It is. I'm still psyched. I'm just so ready to see us play a big game against a big team and not have stupid things happen.
Yeah.
You know, the way it did at Arsenal, the way it did at United.
Fingers crossed, but, you know, yeah. I'm not banking on it. I can see something happen.
So here's the thing. Honest. Am I being super naive again? This happened before. I guess it was against West Ham. Is that who it was against? Everybody, you guys all picked us to lose because of some kind of streak. And I was like, nah, we're going to crush it. And I was just like so confident. And I was the only one wrong because I was so like fresh-faced, you know, like, oh, Everton are wonderful. And then afterward, I was like, I'm an idiot and a stupid child.
Reality check, as you say, though, isn't it?
Just hope my optimism isn't actually being naive. I hope not. And I'll go ahead and tell you, I do not underestimate this Chelsea team. I think they are the second best team in the league.
Yeah, definitely. Without
even though they're, I realize that's an easy thing to say because they're second in, you know.
No, but actually,
I think they are the second best
team.
Literally is the
case. Yeah, they are.
And imagine, you know, actually having more time with that manager. You know,
yeah.
I love that guy, by the way.
Yeah.
I love that guy. You know, right now I do anyway. Just the idea of him, the image of him like smoking on the sideline.
Yeah. Managing like a pack of game, going through a pack of game. Are they to see the state of his lungs?
You know, he just doesn't seem like a manager. He just seems like some guy at a pub.
He's a classy, classy guy. True, yeah. Italian. I think when he first arrived at Chelsea, he had bodyguards escorting him everywhere, and he got his own personal smoking area at the training ground. You know, equality.
He really does just seem like the guy. See, here we'd say the bar. So the guy at the bar who you sit beside and doesn't let on that he knows more than you. You know, doesn't like, you know, doesn't lead with it. He just kind of lets you gradually figure it out.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, I love that guy. I just hope, you know, he makes some bad decisions this weekend. All right. So I guess that's it for our starting 11 segment, eh? That's not our final video segment. We do have a Beers with the Blues segment, which is a new thing. We're having fun with it. Max is going to be ranking the players as far as which ones he'd like to hang out with. We have no idea how this is going
to
go.
Yeah, can't wait to see these comments.
I'm curious as well. I have no idea what to expect. We're taking on kind of a new segment. It's a little experimental. Where we are, it's a segment called Beers with the Blues. It took us a while to come up with the name, so please don't crap all over it. So essentially in this segment, I will be going through the Everton squad, and Max will be giving rating each player between 0 and 5, 0 being not at all, and 5 being very much. And what those mean is, does Max want to hang out and have a pint with this player?
Okay.
So, hence, if someone were to mention Zinedine Zidane to me, I would say 5. He's cool as hell and a genius and one of my favorite players ever. So, yeah. And I'm really curious about the World Cup headbutt thing. You know what I mean? So, I have reasons.
Nice.
You know what I mean? I have very good reasons. And so Max will have to have reasons. I will also ask him a few additional questions just for the heck of it. So essentially, this should tell us a little bit about the players we're discussing, but also about Max. More Max insight, which is wonderful. So
bring it on.
Okay. So let's start with get the rave on, Jordan Pickford.
5, of course. World Cup hero, national superstar. But always just he's obviously older than me, but he's not too far out from my age range. I don't think I'm 20 years old. How old is he? 24.
I think. Yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah, he likes his rave culture. I've been to a few raves in my time, so we could have a pint and then go to a rave or something. Then yeah, go ahead.
I wasn't expecting you to say that. Sorry. all right. Cool. And I'm going numerical order here. So Holgate.
Holgate.
Mason Holgate.
3. I'm a huge admirer of his style of football. I love that kind of the Franz Beckenbauer-esque centre half. So I'd like to pick his mind a little bit about how he interprets the game and how he sees his career panning out. 3. That's
okay.
Standard.
Leighton Baines.
5. Of course.
I don't even know why I asked that. I feel like I should have just written down 5.
Yeah. ask any Evertonian, they gladly buy Leighton Baines a pint. He's just the coolest human being on earth. I'll give you a little one. Right, you know I did me work experience at Finch Farm back when I was in high school, yeah?
I know.
So, okay, you don't have to ask disappointed every time I tell you. I remember just standing there on duty, like just waiting for something to do. This was 13-14 when we were doing well under Martinez, and Baines had just been injured by Jordan Henderson in the derby and done his ankle in. I remember I was standing there on the corridor with not much to do. It was one of my first days, and next thing I just saw Leighton Baines coming down the corridor in a trench coat with a moon boot and crutches, and I just did not know where to look, you know, and you're like, it's like the coolest human, it's like Jesus is walking towards me and I don't know what to do. I was only about 13 as well. I just like kind of looked at him and, all right, Leighton, he went, how you doing, mate, you're all right? But I've met Leighton a few times and he's sound, I was a bite of a pint.
By the way, doing this, I fully expect you to have met like half of them. Like, and really, it's tough not to geek out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you tell me that, and I sit there and I furrow my brow, and I'm like, you know, super jealous. But at the same time, I'm like, holy hell, that's awesome. You know what I mean? That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's one of the amazing things about that kind of club, though. Is you can have those kind of experiences. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know how many teams, like professional level teams that I've pulled for where I've never had any kind of run-ins with them in any way.
Yeah.
Any kind of experiences where I've been anywhere close to them. And just the idea of being able to do that, that's fantastic. That's crazy.
Yeah. Full credit to Everton. They've always been in touch with the club. Mm-hmm. They're very much a family club. So, yeah. Read the two of them.
Michael Keane.
I mean, he doesn't stand out to me as being an outlandish personality, but he's playing really well at the minute, and he's just got his England call up, and for that he does deserve a pint. I'll give him a 3 out of 5.
3, all right. Kurt Zuma.
Kurt Zuma. Four, and I just spend the entire time trying to convince him to stay for next season.
Nice. That works. Jagielka.
Interesting one. I like Jags as a person. I think he's a really interesting personality and how he sees the game. Four, I give Jags a four. He's been captain of the club for a very long time. I've got to say, I've dropped off being a fan of him in terms of when he's on the pitch. He was phenomenal years ago, and he obviously coming towards the end of his career now. But as I say, been the captain of the club for so long. He's a, you know, he's been a mainstay in that dressing room. Be decent to hear some of the stories from him.
I don't. Again, this is another one of these where I seriously doubt I even need to ask. But Andre Gomez.
Andre Gomez at five. Sit there and talk, like, you know, just discuss beards and stuff.
You did it to yourself that time. I've been specifically not making beard and hair calls, you know, and that was on you. That's so good. That's great. That makes me so happy.
He's got a
like, now I'm like, yes, beards are fair game again. I was expecting you to say something about, yeah, I would spend the whole time staring dreamily into his face. And
no, he's a
like, yeah. Like, which beard care products do you use, Andre?
No, I'd be taking notes. I'd have a whole notepad full of stuff for the beard and hair care. Say Majestic.
Knowing him, he's probably got like a bag full of samples. He's like, you know, I really like this conditioner. You should try this. It's.
Great.
It just seems like the guy would find a way. He would take you to the store and buy it for you.
Incredible.
All right. Iceman, Sigurdsson.
Sigurdsson, five again. Fantastic footballer. Technically, absolutely fantastic. Speaks really good English, and I was watching an interview he did with Sky the other day where he's talking about kind of all kind of personal topics such as favourite food, favourite series, or things like that. And he just seemed like a really sound bloke. So, yeah, five.
It's interesting. Like, with him, I feel like his play is more outlandish than he is as a person. You know, he just seems like... You know, seems like a guy.
Yeah.
You know, when he talks, he just has a normal sounding voice. Sounds like you're talking to your neighbor, you know?
Yeah. He's a modest human being. And
yeah.
That's a great quality to have.
Yeah, definitely. Theo Walcott.
Theo Walcott. Four. Theo Walcott's quite an interesting one because I know he hasn't been at the club for any great length of time, but it's more about his career away from Everton that I'm asking about. So obviously he went to that 2006 World Cup as like 16-year-old. That would certainly be an interesting conversation topic. You know, how he went from Southampton to Arsenal, the faith that Arsene Wenger put in him, and his time at Arsenal. So there was always that kind of that question about, would you put him in the middle? Where do you play him? And you want to hear that from the player themselves, don't you? You'd love to hear their opinion on things that were speculated about them and that what were around them in the time. So, yeah, that'd be an interesting conversation.
I love that answer. I'm stealing it. I'm telling you now. So, just to throw a question in there to break things up. Which players do you think would get their drinks in first?
Nias. I was going to say Tosin, but then I went Nias because I think Nias is just... I think Nias just spreads positivity, doesn't he? As a human being, it's just like... He feels like it's his duty to just be sound and be nice to everyone, so... He probably would, wouldn't he?
Okay. Gotcha. Anybody else?
Yerry Mina, because instead of paying attention in my lecture, I was watching Yerry Mina's press conference today, and he similarly took the same approach of saying he just wants to spread happiness, make friends, and be be good to everyone around them. So yeah, I'm all about that vibe from a human being, and I think yeah, he'd buy everyone a bevy, wouldn't he?
Nice. So back to the ratings. Luca Dean.
5, because I think he's been a very underrated signing. Be interesting, obviously, to see what his opinion was coming to the club, taking over such an established position that's been held down by Leighton Baines for such a long period of time. Not to mention he's played for Lille, PSG, Roma, Barcelona. Mm-hmm. Like, that man has played at some top European clubs. That's enough, isn't it, really?
Yeah, that's reason enough right there. I mean, yeah.
Mina, 5. I'm currently doing a business assignment on starting a joint venture with a football club in Colombia. And I'm sure Yerry Mina's name's going to get involved in there at some point, purely for being an absolute hero in that World Cup, scoring in all of his games. His career path as well is something that's fascinated me. I love studying South American players who go over to Barcelona and seeing how they find the culture and how they adapt to the club. Obviously, he's at us now. So, obviously, he wasn't exactly kicked out the door, was he? You know, it was a hefty transfer fee that was paid. So, obviously, he's made that choice to come to us, and I'd like to pick his brain about what he wanted to achieve.
Jink Tosin.
5. Sound as. Like, I'm sure last season I was doing a player review, grading all the players or something along those lines, and I think I literally put, for Tosin, I'd buy him a pint, because he just, from the moment he walked through the door, he always just gave that impression of being one of the like-minded with the fans and on our level. So yeah, of course, Tosin Pasha.
Tosin Pasha. I would like to see him get some, you know, get a little bit more game time, just because I don't want him to go. I don't want him to leave. I think a lot of people are thinking his style doesn't work with Silva. But I've seen other people think that he's absolutely essential to our play. So it's interesting, the analysis on him.
Yeah,
To get a bigger sample size this season.
He won't leave. I don't think he'll leave.
He does. He's made it pretty clear. He and his agent have made it pretty clear, supposedly. So, James McCarthy.
James McCarthy, 4. I'd quiz him more on that first season when he come to the club, because as I've said many times, he was probably my favourite Everton player that season. Literally, absolutely everywhere, covering every blade of grass. Obviously, been very unfortunate with the injuries that he sustained over the years. So, yeah, you'd want to find out where he's at and what his plans are for the future.
Idrissa Gueye.
5. The first name on the team sheet for me. I'm probably emerging as my favourite player in this current group of players that Everton have. A work ethic that's just unprecedented. More tackles than anyone in the Premier League. Where does that desire come from, and where does that cardiovascular endurance come from? He probably wouldn't drink a pint. He'd probably be on the waters. But I'd still buy him a water, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Schneiderlin.
4. Controversial.
Really?
It'd be a controversial one, you know what I mean? Because everyone knows I'm a fan of his. Obviously, the questions that would be asked now is just be, where is he at? Because obviously we did that segment the other day about how he's literally been Andre Gomez of the squad. So where's his head at the moment, and what is his plan for the future?
Nias.
2.
You don't want to hang out with Umar?
I'd hang out with him, but I don't know. There's not much. I don't think there's really much to talk about in that regard. I don't think. I hate to say it, because, you know, he has gone through testing times since joining the club, but I don't think he's essential to the long-term future of the team. So on that basis, 2.
Do you think that maybe you feeling that way would possibly lend to it possibly being a really awkward conversation?
No, he's a smiler, isn't he? I'm sure I'd be a smiler too after a few pints. So,
All right, Bernard.
I don't know where his English is at, but got a four.
Okay.
Yeah, he seems sad. He seems like nice company, and he seems like, you know, the Brazilian vibe that's kind of swept the club since him and Richarlison come in, the kind of samba factor. Feel good, you know, you want to be part of that vibe.
All right, Marty Stecklenburg.
You know what, I'm going to surprise you there, and I'm going to say a three, because he's Dutch, and I really like Holland. I went to Amsterdam, and I felt like it was my spiritual home. Obviously, he's played for Ajax, and he played for Holland in a World Cup final, so they'd be interesting conversation topics.
Seamus Coleman.
Five. Soundest professional footballer I've ever met. So down to earth, so cool. And, you know, he doesn't forget where he's come from. He's a very humble human being. And it's the type of person you want to be mates with, really, isn't it?
That's a shocking answer. Mm-hmm. I didn't see that one coming. Yeah. Davies.
Tom Davies. A five. He strikes me as just being sound as well. Similar age as well, so, yeah, sound.
Right on. Kieran Dowell.
A four. I don't know where he's ending up. I've heard rumblings that he might be going to Wigan on a permanent deal sometime soon.
Really? I heard the possibility of him going there, but I thought it was maybe on loan.
No,
interesting.
I've heard it's on a permanent basis, but maybe that'd be farewell drinks.
Dude, I like the fact that Max just became a unicorn. ITK.
Oh, don't,
check it out.
Don't.
I'm joking, everybody. We're not actually saying Max is an ITK.
An ITK. I don't like all that talk.
Well, of course you don't. No one who's humble and, you know, is, you're not really all about the attention, are you? So, yeah. But that is some good info. Just saying. That's interesting, because I had not heard about a permanent, so that's interesting. DCL.
Three. He seems funny enough to get on with it. You know, you see him when he's hanging out with the likes of Pickford and Holgate. He seems sound. I'd like to ask him a bit more about last season, when he was kind of burdened with more responsibility than he could handle at number nine for so long.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Richarlison.
Five. Just because he had just a great impact since coming to the club. I'd apologise first and foremost for ever doubting the fee. Still, I know it's early days, relatively, if you're going to, you know, judge about how long you're going to stay at the club, hopefully that is for a long time. But, you know, if recent performances and his goal tallies anything to go by, then the fee will eventually be justified. And for that, I'd apologise.
Lookman.
Five, because I love German football too. I do.
That's a good answer. That's a great answer.
I like Leipzig. I love German culture. I love German football culture, and obviously he does too. Going by how much he liked last season. But that aside, you know, more pressing than current matters would be, you know, obviously he played well against Gormeyer, and he is really pressing for a start 11th place now.
Three last ones. Ja Virginia, Beningame, and John Joe Kenny. These are people that have played
first team.
I didn't throw Nathan Broadhead and John and anything. I ended it with Kenny. So.
Okay. Jal Virginia, I go for a three, because something similar to what we were talking about before, really. What is his mentality and what are his intentions, and what was the attraction switching from Arsenal to Everton? I'd want to find that out. Beningame, a three. I don't know about Beningame. I know you're a big fan of him, Jerry, but he's impressed me at under 23s level, and he impressed me when he first came in. I remember that game against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. But obviously, just kind of had that long spell on the sidelines, hadn't he, really, and kind of faded away from the limelight.
And John Joe Kenny.
John Joe Kenny, five, local lad, sound as, believes Everton should not fear anyone, and I believe that too. So yes. I'm sure they get on just fine.
Which player wouldn't pay for a round?
Richarlison, and that's because I don't think he'd have to. I think everyone would just carry on buying him drinks.
Which player is most likely to get maybe a little buzzed, tipsy after just one drink?
Gary Mina. He'd have the old club doing his Colombian dances.
Nice. I think that's it. I think I've tortured you long enough with this. What song do you want to do? Close us out with a song.
Fool's Gold by the Stone Roses.
Fool's Gold. Fool's Gold. Stone Roses. Why?
Because ever since moving to Manchester, call me a mank in the comments all you like. I've just been heavily influenced by the Manchester music scene, and then obviously you get your Oasis, Stone Roses, The Smiths, all these indie bands that have many, many brilliant songs, and Fool's Gold is just always one of those songs that get me in the mood to do something.
I know almost nothing about that band.
Stone Roses.
So this is going to be cool looking this one up.
Yeah, look them up. I'm no guru on them myself. I know they're Manchester United supporters, whereas Oasis are Man City supporters. But yeah, they are good. I've got to say, I'm not a veteran by any stretch, but I might get there one day.
All right, well, I'll be looking them up, and as we are serenaded by Stone Roses, it's time to wrap up the show. That's the end of the podcast, whatever. If you've been listening via podcast, thanks so much. Please subscribe to the Toffee Blues podcast. Rate it if you can. And leave a little review that says something like, I'm upset that Max doesn't want to hang out with Neos. That makes me sad.
I'm sure that will comment that.
I can see it coming. Poor guy. Please subscribe to the Toffee Blues YouTube channel. Hovering around 1,300 subs, we have broken that barrier, which is really cool. So we're slowly continuing the crawl toward 2,000, which would be fantastic. Also, check out Max. You can find him on other podcasts, other videos. And I'm not going to make this one weird. There you go. So check out his Twitter profile. So he'll tell you where he's going to be. He'll also show up on the Toffee Blues website. He does analysis there. And you know what? Other people do too. So just check out the Toffee Blues website in general. All things Everton. Lots of good stuff there by people who know things about the club. There you go. Also follow the Toffee Blues on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. That is it. That is all. I have nothing else. No more plugging. Max, thanks so much.
It's been a pleasure.
I appreciate it. Yeah. So I'll talk to you later. And until then, let's get 3 points this weekend. Bye.